Hi, everyone. This is Natalie, also known as Stars Cast. We have another awesome guest tonight. But first, I'm going to talk a little bit about mysticlivingtoday.com, your articles, poems, excerpts, PR releases, press releases are good. I do anything like that. Anything you want to send to me that, of course, is in good taste. Doesn't have to be metaphysical. It could be health-related. It can be anything. I'll put it up. The deadline is usually on the 30th or the 31st of the month. So this month, it's the 30th, but I always take them after. I mean, if you send me something and say, oh, my God, Natalie, I forgot, I'll put it up because I do it myself. So I'll be happy to do it on the 1st, on the 2nd. It doesn't matter. I'll do it. So get those pieces of information into me, and you can email me at starscast@mysticlivingtoday.com, and it'll come right to me, and I'll look at it and make sure you have an image with it. Everybody likes to see a picture of some kind. If it's for a book or a person just sending me an article, I'll end up emailing you back and saying, well, I need some kind of an image. I never used to do that before, but now I do. And, of course, I want to tell everybody about Stars with a Z, psychics.com. We've been getting really busy the last few days, and that's a nice thing because, you know, summertime, it changes. Everybody's outside having a good time, and, you know, traffic kind of dwindles down a little bit, but I'm very, very pleased. I'm always pleased. You know, I love what I do. Everybody knows that. So without further ado, I'm going to bring my guest in here. Her name is Adita Lang. Adita, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And she is in Miami, so her and I were just talking about the weather. And, you know, she's a little bit more, well, since she's so far south, she's actually tropical. I'm subtropical. So we were just saying how hot it's been, and it's still hot here, too. But, you know, I came from Michigan, so, you know, I don't want to go back there. I don't need the land of ice and snow. So anyway, so I want to start a little bit about what you've done. You started off as a certified fitness instructor, and you've been doing that for 30 years. Now, you still do that?
I still do a little bit of personal training and individual coaching.
I could really use your help. I wish we lived close. you know,
anytime.
I think
with Skype. That's what Skype's about.
That's right. Okay, Natalie, get on Skype. I'm going to show you what you need to do. Well, you know, as you get older, and I'm talking a little bit about this, you get older, your body changes. You can't stop it. But you can actually make it look better. I ride a bike every other day, mostly every other day, unless I'm not feeling good or I'm tired. No, I don't do it when I'm tired because that's when you hurt yourself. But I do that, and I lift weights. But I think, you know, I think there's a better way to lift my weights. And so I'll have TJ give me your email address, and maybe we can meet on Skype, and you can give me just a little few little hints. Now, when you get older, this is what happens to you. You got to work even harder, ladies and gentlemen. It's not like when you're in your 20s when, oh, yeah, I can go walking. I used to play tennis. And you look at yourself and say, well, you still look good. But then as you get older, the body changes. So I think you have to work a little harder. So you still do a little bit of that, and you do personal stuff. But you've written some books also. I want to talk about those. You did A Busy Woman's Guide to Health and Happiness. You are so much an advocate for healthy living for women. And, you know, that is, talking about that, that everything is about, like, women right now, and I love it so much. Because for so long, especially when I was probably in my 20s, women didn't really count. You know what I'm saying? They were there, they had their purpose, and that was it. But now it's just so great to see the empowerment that's going on out there. I love it. All these things, all these groups that are getting together, they're promoting each other. Sorry, men, we got to do it. You know, it's not just all about you. It's about us, too. So, and then you wrote something, superpowers, and I was saying something before the show that I want to know, which do you want to talk about? You want to talk about your guide to health and happiness? Let's touch on that a little bit because I think it applies right now to what's going on. Was that your first book, or have you written others?
I'm in the process of finishing up another one, which is basically Superpowers of the Family Kitchen, which is about feeding your children for growth and development and immune support and, you know, mental clarity and all that stuff. But my first baby was Superpowers, A Busy Woman's Guide to Health and Happiness.
Oh, now I like the name of that one. Okay, so tell us about that. Well, anything for superpowers, anything to make us feel, you know, I'm not very big. I'm only 5'2". And so any time that I can make myself feel a little bit bigger in stature, be just because of what I know and how I feel, and that's important, what, how you feel. It really, really is. So tell us about the superpowers, that the book that you did. I don't have the complete name here. I don't know why I don't have it. But tell us about that one.
Superpowers. It's Superpowers, A Busy Woman's Guide to Health and Happiness. And you're not that small. I'm 5'2" also.
Oh, goodness.
We are powerful
okay.
women. We are powerful women. Just stand up straight, pull your shoulders back, lift your chest up, and you're tall and powerful.
I feel really good now. You're my size. I love it.
Good. Yes.
Yeah,
so
you know.
I wrote that.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, you know, I wrote that book because originally in the fitness industry, when I was single and footloose and fancy free, I would always wonder why, like, my clients couldn't make it to their appointments on time, and half the time they'd come to me with stains on their shirt and they couldn't get their workouts in for anything. And I was like, what is wrong with them? I don't understand that. And then I got married and had two kids. And I totally understood it. I totally got it. And at that point, I really started to feel like my own internal light was dwindling, and dwindling fast. And it really freaked me out. And I was like, this is not how you're supposed to live life. This doesn't make any sense at all to me. You're not supposed to live life like this. And so I started tweaking my day-to-day habits here and there and feeling better. And then my friends who were kind of in the same boat, they'd be going, what are you doing? We want some of that. And as I kept spreading the word, everyone was like, yeah, this is a much better way of living. And hence, Superpowers pulled through.
So what are superpowers? Just being, just what you get from within? Is it inspirational?
You know what?
Where did that come from?
Well, it's a combination. When I teach about health is a combination of your food and nutrition, exercise and movement, sleep and relaxation, and happiness. And combined, you are a healthy individual. So it's like if you go to a gym, for example, and you see a personal trainer and they have a great physique, and you're like, wow, that's a really healthy person. But maybe they're cranky and they don't sleep. So they're not that
right.
healthy in the long run. Okay, so it's a matter of really about combining these four elements. And at the same time, too, which is one of my primary reasons for dedicating this to women, because it was me getting myself out of the hole. And half the time as a woman, we tend to take care of everybody else around us, and we don't take care of ourselves first. And just like they tell you on the airplane to bring the oxygen mask to yourself first so that you can take care of others, you have to do that in your day-to-day life. Because if we are not happy and inspired and feeling healthy and energized, how can we motivate people around us?
Exactly.
And I found myself being exhausted, trying to motivate, thinking I was motivating at my best, but I really wasn't. And it was all a facade. And then all of a sudden, I'm just feeling terrible and exhausted and everything hurts. And I'm like, this is not right. So you've got to really balance out these four things, and it doesn't have to be difficult, which is my other thing, is I like to teach people simple and easy ways of doing this. So, for example, if you just took the food and nutrition aspect of it, basically to make it really simple is sugars are the thing that you have to watch out for, and it's not just table sugar. It's sugar, flour, dairy, and alcohol. Your body interprets all of those as a sugar, and if you have too many sugars, you're going to slow your system down no matter what. So, you know, a client of mine had coffee, cream and sugar, toast, jam, and juice. Well, that's way too much sugar for breakfast. So we had to have a little discussion saying, what are you willing to give up? I need to know. And he said to me, you know what? I don't want to give up the coffee, cream, and sugar. And I said, that's fine. But then that means the rest of your breakfast has to be protein and good quality fats. So from there, he chose eggs and avocado, and that's now his breakfast. And that energizes him, and it doesn't give him this false sense of energy, which then you have to fall from that. So it kind of stabilizes his energy throughout the day, and that's what you want with every meal and snack. So I tell people a lot is a couple of things to keep in mind. One is you don't want to eat to be stuffed. You want to eat to feel satisfied. And when it comes to the next meal, you want to be just ready to eat but not famished. And if you're famished, you've got to look at the proportions of your carbohydrates, proteins, and fats of the meal before that to figure out, you know, where do I need to change this? So if I get to my meal famished and I look at my meal before that and I say, well, I had, you know, chips and a sandwich and there was cheese in the sandwich and I had a sweet tea, well, that's why I'm famished right now. But on the other hand, if I would have had
a lot of things turn to sugar,
chicken,
isn't that true? A lot of things convert to sugar.
Absolutely.
Right?
So it's sugar, flour, dairy, and alcohol. They all convert to sugar. And so, you know, my whole thing is basically you can have 0 to 1 per meal and snack. And other than that, your meal and snack should have a good amount of protein and good quality fat. And that's what's going to sustain you for a longer period of time.
And give
so
you lots
really
of energy at the same time, right? You get a lot of energy, right?
Absolutely. Yes. Because
now
that's
tell
the
me
thing
something.
Too, is that
what is a good breakfast? Like sometimes I just have coffee and I have fat free cream in it. It's my breakfast. But I'll eat like an apple at lunchtime sometimes. Sometimes I'll have I like Activia, the yogurt. Sometimes I'll just eat tuna. And I don't really put anything in it. What is a good breakfast? Like, what do you have? Let's tell our audience, what do you have? What is really good for us?
Well, there's like my three staple breakfasts are, one of them is going to be eggs and avocado. I like that. Or some kind of like an omelet with avocado on the side. My next one is muesli, which is kind of a Swiss breakfast, which basically is oats with sunflower seeds and pumpkin seeds and shredded coconut. And all of these things that if you threw on the table, you could actually identify, right? It's not manufactured foods. It's just all of
these
ingredients.
You eat that dry or
do you
put something in it?
I'll put like a hemp milk or a coconut milk.
Okay. Oh, I don't like coconut milk.
You know,
okay, got it.
Or hemp. Hemp milk is very good. Almond milk is very good. But one of these nut milks I will use for that. And then because it has so many nuts in there, it has a very high protein content, which is really good for you. And again, that's going to sustain your energy. And then if not, for those days that I'm just kind of running pretty quickly, I'll do a protein smoothie. I use a plant-based protein powder that's raw, and I mix that in with collard greens and spinach and cilantro, and then I sweeten it up with a pear or some dates and a banana, and I make myself a big old smoothie.
I've never been able to do those. I think it's because I don't like drinking like that kind of. I'm sure they're very, very good. We have them all over here. You know, we have huts and places all over here. You probably do, too, down in Miami. It's probably very popular.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but I've never gotten into that. And I'm not a breakfast eater, so I don't know what in the world I would do.
Well, you know what, and it's not that you have to eat something huge, but breakfast will turn on your metabolism. And your metabolism is that thing that assists you in burning extra calories doing ordinary activities. So something as simple as an apple with almond butter on it would be sufficient. You don't have to sit and have like a full-on breakfast, but just eating something, because the metabolism is turned on because your engines inside your body are now breaking down and digesting food, and then you're moving. So let's say you're walking to the door. So now you burn extra calories walking to the door because you basically have two things going on. You have the body metabolizing that food and you're walking. So that's what is the beauty of that turning on the metabolism thing. So it doesn't have to be a huge meal to get your engines breaking down food. It can be something small. It's just a matter of getting them turned on.
Okay, so you have to put something, everybody listening, you have to have something in the morning that is beneficial, not like a something that's sugary. You don't want to put anything like that in. And you have to remember a lot of things turn to sugar, and sugar is not good. A little bit, like you said, a little bit of sugar is okay. But, so many people you know, you see 2 teaspoons of sugar in their coffee, and oh, no, I've never been one
to
do that.
And we forget about all that other stuff that's also sugar. So it doesn't matter if the cracker is multi-grain, organic, blessed by the Pope. It's still flour, and it's still going to convert into sugar when we eat it. That's how our body interprets it. So we got to keep that in mind. The same as yogurt and cheese and milk, all those things convert into sugar into our body. So some people are under the perception that dairy is protein, but unfortunately it's very little protein. It's more carbohydrate than protein, and your body treats
it
like a sugar.
Yeah, that's true. It's not doing anything for your body at all. And as you get older, you need
unfortunately
more protein that is valuable, not that's like fake, what I call it, fake, you know. Oh, you're getting this 13 grams of protein. Well, are you really? Probably not. You know what I like is their crackers called Wasa crackers. They have multigrain and, I love those. I get it's a purple wrap on it. It's got some purple, but it's a multigrain one. And, I mean, there again, like you said, you could put something on it and have that in the morning. That wouldn't be bad. I mean, it's got grain in it. I don't know what else is in it. And if you know what it is, I don't know what you could put on it, something that would be healthy, because they can be dry. You really need something on
remember,
it.
Yeah, but remember, those Wasa crackers, they're made with flour.
That's true.
So
I
although
know.
You see the grains in there and they have other grains in there, they are made with flour. So if you wanted to have a Wasa cracker for breakfast, you need to make sure that you're having a good quality protein with it, because you got to be able to stabilize those sugars.
So what could you have with it?
Well, I, you know, to me, almond butter is the easiest thing. But, of course, if you're going to do any kind of a nut butter, you want it to be raw. Because when it's raw, the fat composition of it is very good for you. But when it's roasted, it's not. So you always want to make sure you're using a raw nut butter. That's a good way of doing it. If you like hummus, hummus, I think, is wonderful to use.
Oh, gosh, I love hummus.
Or you can put an egg on it.
Yeah, scramble an egg?
Yeah, why not?
That's good. I could do
that. Yeah.
A cracker and an egg. That would be perfect for me.
Perfect for me.
You know, and if you're doing any kind of workout, like I do with my bike, I'll do like 25 minutes, and I start off the lower tension, and then I work up to like a number 8. But you're gonna laugh at me. I have bike pants on. I have long bike pants on. I have a regular top on, and then I wear a sweatshirt. The reason I do it is because I really like to perspire when I ride. And if I do that, I know I've worked hard. I know I'm just not sitting there pedaling, and it works every time for me. And I come off feeling not exhausted, but I feel, okay, you did something worthwhile here.
Okay, listen, as long as you're doing it, as long as you feel good from it, you're golden.
Mm-hmm.
That really is a thing, which kind of takes us into our next pillar of health, which is going to be exercise and movement. And so reality is that we've got to move our bodies. I love research studies. And so American College of Sports Medicine came out a while back and said, listen, you need 150 to 300 minutes of activity per week. And they defined activity as anything that increased your heart rate and made you sweat. So there you got your sweat going. And they said the minutes don't need to be consecutive. So one of the things, when I was younger in fitness, I would tell people, listen, you got to work out 3 to 4 days a week, and you got to work out for 60 minutes. And then when they came to me and they said, oh, you know what, I tried. I couldn't get the 60 minutes in. I got 48. I would be like, I gave them grief. And I'm like, what do you mean you didn't? You need to get those 60 in. And unfortunately, people stopped working out because they're like, oh, I don't have 60 minutes, so I guess I'm not going to do it. And the reality now is, no. Listen, break up your minutes throughout the day. So, you know, start your morning by brushing your teeth and doing squats and lunges. And then somewhere later on, maybe do some push-ups if you can. Or walk further to your car or use the stairs. And start to add in these small bouts of activity throughout your day. And if you do it that way, by the end of the week, 150 minutes is nothing. You'll easily get
that's
that.
True.
And that's what our body needs.
That's true. And that, you know, and you have to adjust as you get older. I keep saying that, but you really do. I mean, if you're, you know, your body really changes. And I always say to myself, look, if you feel really good, like, so I used to ride my bike at midnight, believe it or not. I mean, I was
oh, wow.
like, I wasn't addicted, but I was oh, you didn't ride for 2 days. Oh, you better do it now, because I would feel like it. So what I do is I always ride when I feel like it. And I put my headset on with my music, and I'm good to go. And then I look at the time, and I think, oh, my God, I better stop. I could probably go longer than my 25 minutes, but I'm pedaling really hard, and I've been doing it a long while. So I guess I do what's comfortable for my body and my age, and I take all that into consideration. But those of you who are younger, I mean, you really need to listen to Adita and do as much as you can, really. I mean, it helps your heart. It helps your body. It's just an overall good thing. Even the endorphins in your brain. If you're feeling crummy, go do exercise. I mean, unless you're feeling really bad. A lot of times I'll do that if I'm not meditating. So I'll say to somebody, well, you know, I always say my brain is not working really good or whatever, but that's not true. But I'll just say, yeah, I better get on the bike. I got to get on the bike. And I get off that bike. Maybe I'm a little tired, but, oh, I feel good. And everything's working good, but it's the endorphins. That's exactly what it is. And I don't know that they really preach that enough as much as they do building muscle and all that, but really it's the endorphins that really help you. It makes you think better. You feel better. Everything looks better. So that's what you do. But sometimes it's not all that
simple. Well,
okay, so what's the third thing?
It gives you a mental reset.
Yes, that's it. Because you come off of there, like for me, I mean, I have to sit down. I'm wiped out because I've been perspiring so much. But you see, that's what I do because I like to do that for my skin. I know it works for me.
Oh, there you go, yeah.
And, you know, and when I played tennis, man, when I got off that court, even if I had a private lesson, this guy worked me to death. I came off, and I mean, you would have thought I was wiped out, and I worked in a tennis club, and I was like on top of the mountain. I felt so good. Even though I didn't
That's
look
great.
So good, I felt so good, and I knew, and my pores were opened up, and there's nothing wrong with doing that. I mean, you can be any age to do that. You need to do the work. You just need to do it. So now what's the next thing?
So the next thing is sleep and relaxation. So you've got to be able to, number one, unwind from any stresses of your day. And at the same time, you want to be able to sleep to the point that when you wake up in the morning, you feel like you're ready to get out of bed and you don't feel like someone has to come with a crowbar to pull you out and that you need to push the snooze button. So, you know, ideally I tell people, listen, your room should be pitch dark. So every single little tiny LED light should be covered up. And, you know, and it sounds weird because, you know, you look at that little tiny light and you go, that's not going to do anything to me. But here's the thing is if you close your eyes and I took a flashlight and flashed it in your eyes, you would see it through your eyelids. And so you're asleep. Yeah. And we have these things called sleep cycles, which last approximately 75 minutes. And ideally you want to get them to be 75 minutes. So you're in this sleep cycle, but if you turn your head and all of a sudden one of those teeny little lights just beams you in the eye, you're actually going to start to come out of the sleep cycle. You don't necessarily wake up, but now you're having a restless sleep. You're not sound asleep anymore. And then if you do this progressively throughout the night, then you're going to get up the next morning going, oh my God, I'm so exhausted. I can't move. So we want to make sure
that
the sleep cycles are really solid.
I turn everything down. I don't even have it beeping or anything, but I close it off, and then I cover it with a towel, so I don't even see it.
Yep.
So it doesn't matter. Something could come through, and I'm not going to see it because the towel's covering it up, and I do it every night as I'm charging it. I do it every single night. I've never missed a night because I think sometimes, and we are in such a world of cell phones, that we often – rely upon that, and you find yourself, and I'm sure everybody's thinking this, looking over at that phone. Did somebody send me a text? Mm-hmm. Did something happen? And, you know, I have two businesses that I'm doing, and I've got people texting me, and beep, 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 beep. Some mornings I get so many beeps when I'm having my coffee that I turn it way down, and I put it back in my room so that I can relax and have my coffee and not have to, you know, because this one site, I mean, there's a lot that I do with it. And I love it, but you also need time for yourself. You know, payroll, they're beeping me. What time are we getting paid? Oh, I have to have my coffee first, thank you. You know, I'm sitting there relaxing and meditating at the same time. And really, that really helps me. And I think you have to find what helps you. You know what I've been noticing, too, is that I'm getting up earlier, and I really don't know why. Used to be, you know, I would get up like 8 o'clock. I mean, I would wake up right, you know, then. Now I'm getting up like 6:45. And I don't know if it's because the days are long. Yeah, it's a big difference. But you know what I do, and it's my own fault. At night, you know, I have a cat. He's a Maine Coon. He's real big, and he always likes to cuddle me. Okay, so I'm close to him, and I like to watch a little bit of TV. And I used to find myself staying up till 2 and 3 in the morning watching stuff on television. Now I'm more disciplined, and I don't know why that happened to me. I guess I got something smart in my head at the moment and thought, well, you're really stupid. Why do you keep doing this? You could always record this if you really want to see it and watch it tomorrow during the day. Why do you stay up? So now I shut the light off. He's with me now, my cat. And sometimes I'll watch a little bit of something, but by 12, that TV is off. It's total darkness for me. Like you said, you need to be in total darkness. And now I'm waking up like 6:45, 7 o'clock. I have no idea why, but I feel good when I'm waking up. I'm not tired. So obviously something has done, something switched on me. And that's good. That's okay for me. You know, people would say, I got up at 5 and did this. And, oh, my God, 5 o'clock. I'm thinking to myself, when I used to stay up really late, I only had 2 hours sleep if I got up at 5, you know?
No. Yeah, see, I go to bed early, but I get up early.
So what time do you usually shut your lights off? I mean, saying, okay, night-night, it's time to go to sleep. What time for you?
At 9:30, 10 o'clock.
You're kidding.
Yep. And I listen to my body, which is really important, too. So sometimes I might be tired, I don't know, at 7:30, and I'll just go to sleep. So you just have to kind of listen to your body. But it makes me feel good when I wake up in the morning and I'm like before everybody and I can get things done when everything's nice and quiet. Right. It's the best time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you can. And it's peaceful at that time, it seems to be.
Yep.
So I'm kind of glad the last two nights, or two mornings, I should say, I've gotten up before 7. That's really unusual for me. So must be a reason, but I must have done a reset on myself is what I'm thinking, too. And I don't know what did it.
Yeah.
Maybe not staying up watching TV so late and getting better rest. Because when you don't have a lot of hours, it seems like your body is on speed dial. It's trying to catch up. Oh, my God, we only have 5 hours or we have to rest here. And then she's going to want to get up again. And so maybe now I'm in a better sleep mode so that I'm shutting the light off. I am very disciplined anyways, but I love to watch TV, but in the fall, when all these new things come out on television, I mean, I record everything, and I just love them. But I don't stay up. I was staying up late like last winter, but now I'm going to try to just stay in what I'm doing now, because I seem to have I'm more perky all day long. I mean, I don't find myself being tired. You know, sometimes you get tired. So it's a reset. So anybody that's listening out there, you have to kind of find out what your body needs. And sometimes it's trial and error, really.
Cool. Absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, at the end of the day, being able to rest fully and to really wake up feeling good and feeling energized throughout your day, and being able to just deal with normal stresses by just letting them kind of roll over your shoulders and not necessarily holding all this stuff within ourselves, that makes us a stronger individual. So those
it really
are important
does.
Aspects as well.
Yeah. And, you know, my job is what I do for my sites, you know, but at one time I had two jobs at one time, you know, and it was great. But what I do now can exhaust me because it's demanding. I make it demanding because I give all the clients, all those that work for me, my personal attention. If they have an issue, they need to test their computer, something is not working, I'm right there. That's part of what I do. But And you have to find out what it is you do. Are you a caregiver? Are you a, you don't like to help? I love to help. I'll help anybody. It's just, I've always been like that. So, but that can be exhausting because it'll drain your, it drains you. Mentally, it's draining when you do all of that. That's why sometimes somebody will say, well, can you look and see if so-and-so is on the site or what's going on with this? And I'll say, well, I'm not at my PC. I'll be sitting outside. You have to do that. You cannot be tied to something like that. You need time for self. And now we have these little deer that come behind my house, and I was watching them last night. And if you follow me back on Instagram, you'll see the deer in my in one of my posts, three baby deer. There was actually six of them, but I only got three of them all together. And so just standing in my window watching them is the most beautiful thing in the world. It's just, it really, really is. And I'm, you know, I guess you got to find what you find in life that's going to be fulfilling on the inside. And I know what mine is. So, but this is a beautiful time of the year, even down in Miami for you. Everything is nice and lush and green. And of course, it's hotter than all get out. But, you know, and then, you know, we always have to worry, you do too, of hurricanes. Come late. I mean, we get ours, the thoughts of having them in October seems to be a bad month for us. I'm hoping, because the water is not as hot as it was last year, and that is always a factor. But even if you, you know, even in the north, I mean, it's very beautiful. The United States is very beautiful at this time of the year, all over, very beautiful. So you need to, wherever you are, you need to take advantage of that. Go outside, sit outside, listen to the birds. Look at the flowers, go for a walk. There's a lot of beautiful things that are not going to cost you a dime that you can do. And,
well, and here's the
yeah.
thing, too. You've mentioned a couple of times about meditation. And so mm-hmm. the reality is meditation is focusing on one thing and only one thing, which then enables you to stop thinking about all the other thoughts in your head. So walking around in nature can be meditative, or staring at the deers can be meditative. And so these things give you a mental reset.
Oh, yeah. They really, really do. And it just makes you feel so good. It really, really does. But so now you've got another book going. We need to touch on that. Now, what is that one called?
The other one is called Superpowers of the Family Kitchen. And so what that book is dedicated to basically teaching parents how to feed their children. We tend to forget that we're growing an adult from scratch. And so, you know, giving them, you know, a Lunchables or mac and cheese isn't necessarily going to grow your next superhero. So you want to make sure that you're creating the right kind of foundation. So, you know, part of what I do is to really educate parents so that they understand that the food choices that they're giving their little ones today is going to actually impact their health when they're 50. And so we want to make sure that we are creating that good foundation of solid foods for our children.
So is it basically like what you would give, what an adult would have, or is it a change up when you're giving it to your children, or is it the same kind of diet?
It's basically the same kind of diet. It really is. It's, you know, and it's kind of funny because even with my first book that I dedicated it to women, the reality is everything in that book applies to men as well. So, you know, it all applies to all of us, except the challenge with kids is that they're picky eaters. And most of the time what parents don't realize is that we are creating these habits and these visions of food in their head. So that whole psychology has to be addressed. Because it's something as simple. I had some kids. I have two kids. And so we had some friends over one night, and I had made dinner. And the little girl looks at me and goes, "Where's dessert?" And I looked at her and I said, "Well, we don't have dessert. We have fruit. Would you like fruit?" And she kept insisting that the dinner was not complete without dessert. And it's those things that we teach our children that. That's not a rule in life. That's something we teach. And so I looked at her and I said, "Yes, in our house, dessert is fruit. You may choose fruit. Which fruit would you like?" And that really wasn't satisfying her, because in her house, they've taught her that dessert is something totally different. So, you know,
right. Oh, yeah, ice cream, cookies.
Yeah.
And, you know, Now, do your kids like avocado?
Yes, they do.
Okay, you probably started them eating that when they were pretty young. How old are they right now? What are their ages?
Nine and 13.
Okay, all right. Well, yeah, you gotta. You know, I mean, do you watch? I'm sure you watch the sugars they consume. I mean, and sometimes sugars can wind them up like little tops, and they're running around.
Oh,
and you wonder
absolutely.
Why they're so hyper. Well, look at what they're eating or drinking, and yeah. So, I mean, do you tell them, oh, no, you can't have a McDonald's, or do you reward them?
I'm just curious because little kids are different.
I don't reward,
and that's and to me, that's something that's really important, especially for your listeners to hear, is that rewarding with food is basically going to teach them that when they're in college, they should party because they passed an exam. And when they become adults, they should go out and overindulge at a restaurant and eat fancy foods because they, you know, got the big promotion. And so those are habits that we're teaching. So I try to teach my clients and work with my clients. One lady, she invites me over because she says her 16-year-old daughter is overweight and I have to do something about it. So I get there and I'm talking to them. And my whole thing is that it's not her daughter's responsibility until the daughter's buying her own food. So at this point, it's mom's responsibility of the food choices that are in the house. Then all of a sudden, I come to find out that mom had just taken her out to a pizza dinner because she passed an exam. And I looked at her and I said, you have to understand, first off, the pizza dinner is not going to stay in her memories for that long. It's fun at that moment, but she's going to forget about that. And, you know, if you ask her like 3 years from now about the pizza dinner, she's not going to remember it. On the other hand, if you would have taken her to get her nails done and had a wonderful mom and daughter moment, she'll probably remember that for years. And
those are
the kind of rewards you want to teach them, because that's what they should be using when they get older, is those kind of rewards as opposed to food. So that is something that, you know, and again, it's what we're teaching our kids. So my kids, we don't really have candy in our house. They haven't gone to McDonald's. But on the same note, you know, the way that I do it is at home, I call it sanctuary. At home, we eat meticulously. We eat really good foods because I know that they're going to go to somebody's house or at school and they're going to get something else that I may not approve of.
Yep.
It doesn't matter. It's there. And I'm not going to tell them don't eat it, but that's what happens over there. But in our house, at least I know that I'm giving them the right health foundation in our house so that when they do other things outside of the house, it's not as impactful.
Yeah, you know, I've heard of some parents, you can't have this, you can't have that, and if you go over there and you stay overnight, you can't have this. Well, you know, I mean, come on, I mean, they're kids, and they're growing up, and what's going to happen is they're going to sneak all this stuff in when you're not looking.
Yeah,
absolutely. You know,
and
I
don't
have,
want to happen. Yeah.
Right, I have a friend, and her two grandchildren, I mean, she's got other grandchildren, but the two of them, her son lets them only watch television for 1 hour a day. That's okay. And I'll say to her, well, like, they're not in school. So, you know, one is like 4 and the other one is 2. I said, well, you know, what do they do? I mean, like, he's gone over the edge with this. And so she says, well, they play with their toys. And I said, and, you know, they're not allowed to eat certain kind of foods. And I said, what's going to happen when they go over to their friends and the TV is on, or they're going to have popcorn or ice cream, or what's going to happen? She said, well, that's the thing. She said, you know, he's so disciplined with them. See, I don't think that's fun. That's not good for a kid. He's so disciplined with them that they're going to rebel. They're going to, as soon as his back is turned, oh, I'm out the door and I'm going over to my friends because she's got or he's got everything that I want. And usually kids are not strong enough to carry over to somebody else's house what they've had or not had at home. It would take a very special kid to do that, you know. So,
you can create a certain palate. So a great example is my daughter. She will go to a birthday party and someone will hand her this enormous piece of cake. And she'll eat 2 bites and look at me and go, Mom, I'm full.
Yeah.
Or, Mom, it's too sweet. Because her palate is not
that's true.
Sweet tooth as everybody else. Yeah.
That is true. And yeah, it was my granddaughter's birthday, and they had this big, you know, it was cookies and cream cake, and you know, and like you, I'm not very big, and people tend to want you to eat a lot of sweets because they think you need the fat. And so, my daughter-in-law kept trying to make big pieces, and I said, you know, I just give me a tiny lot, and I showed my with my fingers this big. That's all I need. Just to say I'm sharing in her birthday, and she was sitting next to me. But isn't it strange? Now, I don't eat stuff like that at home, but it was really sweet to me. You're right. It tasted really sweet, and I guess probably that's why. But I'm very disciplined even with what I have. I don't eat beef. I don't eat pork. I'm not a vegan. I eat chicken and salmon. I mean, if I could have salmon 5 times a week, I would have grilled salmon. But I stopped eating beef and pork and stuff like that, anything that's got all the fats in it like that. And my son always teases me, he doesn't eat as much because we didn't eat that much at home. But even then, you know, even a grilled ground round, I mean, if I were to eat that now, I'd probably get deathly ill because I haven't had it in probably 25 years.
Yeah.
People don't understand. You really don't miss it. You really don't. People say, well, aren't you dying for that? I guess if I had a grill and I had or somebody was grilling and I'd have a taste of it, but I could never consume the whole thing. I had fried shrimp, Adita, on Saturday. I got home and I was so sick because the shrimp was good, but it had all this stuff on it. The place was called Hook and Reel. And it's all seafood. It was delicious, and I didn't eat all the shrimp. And as soon as I came home, I thought, well, yeah, my stomach's probably saying, well, what in the world did you just give me? I'm not used to this. It's true.
That's the thing is that food is basically fuel, and we've become a society where food is socialization, it's comfort, it's the thing you do when you break up with a mate. But it's not. It's the gasoline for your car. And so you've got to make sure that the gasoline you're putting in your car makes you feel empowered and strong and superpowers, but not like you have a stomach ache, you feel nauseous, or you got to go to bed.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah, I was pretty sick. I mean, it went away, but I knew exactly what it was. I mean, they had lobster, and there was, you know, crab, and we had calamari, which was really good. Of course, that's fried anyways. So it's probably all the fried that my body just doesn't have on a regular basis at all. And it's really funny. And I'm going to tell my listeners, I'm going to tell them that a lot of times, believe it or not, I will have a baked potato with steamed veggies, broccoli, cauliflower, carrots, all fresh, but I steam them. And if
That's
you
wonderful.
Have ever tasted steamed broccoli and cauliflower together, sometimes I'll have peas. You know, sometimes I'll do those. I mean, it's such a sweet thing. I mean, you can't get you acquire a taste every time I have it. I'm just so happy that I decided to do it. And I'm by myself, so you eat a little bit differently. You don't have to make all this food. But yeah, and I watch my bread intake. If I have a sandwich, I love tuna, but I don't eat, I don't eat bread. Sometimes I'll eat one piece of bread. I'm not a bread eater either. Of course, that's sugar anyhow, but I don't do that either. So I'm very slight. I'm not very big, and my granddaughter always teases me if I have a salad, you know, of romaine or something. She says, how many leaves of that are you going to eat? But I love that stuff. I really, really do. I love kale. I love spinach. You can make a nice salad with kale and spinach. You can put good stuff in there. You'd be surprised. And it will fill you up. Plus, it's good for your body. It's all good for the inside.
Yep.
So I do that. And I have to see why I'm waking up earlier. I must see what I consume before the night before. Maybe that's it. I don't know. Sometimes I'll nibble on some crackers or something, but because I don't really eat big meals unless I go out to lunch with my girlfriend, and then, you know, I'll have my salmon. You know, they have Longhorn here has the best. I shouldn't be advertising grilled salmon, because what they do is they marinate it overnight in bourbon. But it's just grilled, just perfect. I mean, it's just wonderful. I've never had a bad piece of salmon there at all. And you'll go someplace else and it's not, and you'll say, oh, it's not as good. Of course it's not. Don't be such an idiot. Why'd you order it? Just order something else. But you keep trying, you know. But I like fish an awful lot. So you're right. I mean, but I think, you know, a lot of foods, though, don't you think, Adita, have, they turn into sugar. And there's probably a big list of food that we all eat that is going to convert into sugar in some way.
Oh, yes.
And I mean, is there a way really to get around that? I guess not. How much sugar are we supposed to have in a day, or can we have in a day? Do you know?
Well, ideally, you know, we need a certain amount of sugar, which converts into glucose, which actually feeds our brain so that you and I can have this conversation and think about what we're going to say. So that part of it is we need that. But that's tablespoons worth. That's about it. You know, unfortunately, most of the processed food items are, you should just consider them sugar. When you look at a food label, the food label will say total carbohydrates, and then under that, it'll say sugars. And so most people assume that because it says sugars, you know, 7, but total carbohydrates, 41, that it's okay. But really, when you look at total carbohydrates, you should just assume that that's all your sugars, because that's how your body's interpreting it. It's not that it's table sugars. The table sugar is probably the 7, but it's the body's interpretation of the food item and what it's going to do with it. It's going to treat the 41 grams as the sugar. And so that's where you got to be really careful. So if you can minimize your processed foods, you're doing yourself such a favor. You're better off getting sugars from an apple, a banana, carrot, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff, as opposed to from a cracker or a cookie or pasta or couscous.
Which has flour.
Any
which
of that
flour.
Kind of
I never eat pasta. That's another thing I don't eat either. I don't eat pasta.
Yep.
And I don't eat white rice. If I eat rice,
very good.
Sometimes, yeah, I don't. I mean, I love wheat. But, again, I'm not a rice eater either. I don't know what I am. It's really strange. People should follow me around.
Well, have you ever had quinoa?
What do you have to – pardon me?
Have you eaten quinoa?
No.
Quinoa? Okay. It starts with a Q.
Oh, I know what that is. It's a grain, right?
It's a grain. And so that grain is actually complete protein, but you can use that grain for any place that you would use rice.
Oh, okay.
So you could do quinoa and beans. You could do quinoa with mixed vegetables. You can do quinoa with, you know, your piece of salmon and some veggies. Anything that you want to, you can use that grain for. And that grain is a complete protein. So it's so much different than eating just rice.
Right. Yeah. And probably a lot of times I just don't have it is because it's just me. And it's I don't like to eat things 2 days in a row. I mean, I try not to. Because it's just not, I just don't want to. I had this one day. This is enough. We're not having this tomorrow. So, I'll look for that. And, you know, and all the stores have their, it's not even just health food. It's healthier food. They have aisles mm-hmm. of it. We have a new Kroger that's just jam packed with stuff. I mean, I had one heck of a time trying to find everything because it's huge. It's a super one. And but, you know, next time I go there, I'll start looking for some of these things. And legumes are really good. Legumes, I guess you pronounce them. There's a lot of good grains that you can have that would be really good that you could have as a side dish.
Well, and
with
you
your
have
veggies,
to be careful
with your steamed veggies.
Oh, no.
That sounds good to me.
Absolutely, but you also have to be careful when you go to these grocery stores and they do have these healthy aisles or these healthy sections, because remember that manufacturers work really, really hard at making sure that the packaging entices you and that the words mm-hmm. on it entice you. And so they could actually write something and put made with organic ingredients on the outside, which makes you think it's healthy. It's got a picture of a tree or grass, and you assume it's healthy, but when you actually look at the ingredients, only 30% of the ingredients have to be organic for them to write the word organic on the outside.
Yeah.
And
so
all those pictures
of
the grass
I'm
and
curious,
the field.
What kind of greens? Do you eat brands, I guess is what I want to say? Because you sound like you really eat healthy as best as you can, I'm sure.
I do. I primarily stick to everything as organic, and most of my foods are in their natural state. I buy very little processed food items. So items that have a food label, there's very few of those. And it's kind of funny because usually like Monday, my refrigerator is stocked. It's full. It's completely full. By Friday, it's almost empty. Because I eat everything. There's nothing that stays in my refrigerator. So once it's eaten, it's gone. And the vegetables,
I bet you you probably don't eat meat either, do you?
Very rarely. My kids like to have it here and there, and so I'll make it for them. But it's not necessarily a main staple in my life. No, I go really well eating beans and vegetables and, you know, things like that. I feel much better with.
Right. Right. Yeah,
but
and a lot of stuff is.
And that's the,
yeah. I really need to think about having more the right proper greens and stuff. Because I like all that kind of stuff. I really, really do. And look at the stuff that I don't eat. I mean, I'm prime for trying new things. I would be a prime candidate for it. Because I also found, and the ladies should be hearing this, even the men, I don't eat chocolate anymore either. Of course, that's like pure sugar. There's this thing that, you crave chocolate. If you stop eating chocolate, stop. You're not going to crave it at all. Your body will make that adjustment. I don't eat it anymore at all. I used to eat like these little Snickers and things like that, and it's not good for your face. It's not good for your skin. Yeah, those kinds of things. And again, it's all sugar. If you read sugar is terrible for your skin. It really is.
You've got to look at ingredients. At the end of the day, you have to look at ingredients. Actually, not all chocolate is bad. And chocolate comes from cacao.
Oh, no, like
cacao,
dark chocolate, I think, might be pretty good, right?
A really good, strong dark chocolate, absolutely. And there's some raw chocolates out there, which are even better. Which they don't put any kind of milk products in it, because really what's going to cause you the acne is the milk products in the chocolate, and that's what you want to stay away from. So you've got to really, at the end of the day, you've got to read your ingredients on everything that has a food label. And, you know, my first nutrition teacher told me this, and I've stuck to it ever since, is that if you can't pronounce it and you don't know what it is, don't eat it.
Yeah.
So read your
true.
Ingredient list. And really read it thoroughly, and you need to know what all those ingredients are. And if you don't, then, you know, don't eat it. And here's the thing, too, is anything with an ingredient list, they can put in, if something is less than 10% of the ingredients, they don't have to list it on the ingredient label. So something like natural flavors could actually be MSG.
Yeah. But, I mean, where can you buy? I mean, a lot of people can't afford to buy all the specialty kind of stuff. That's a problem also. You know, you can't just go. I don't even know. Do they have health food stores anymore? Are they obsolete? I don't even know if they exist anymore.
Well, they have health food stores. They have health food grocery stores. But here's the thing. All over the country, they have things called co-ops. A co-op is your friend. So a co-op is usually a local farmer or a local business that's kind of coordinated with different farms, and you can get a box, any different size box, of wonderful fresh organic ingredients that.
Oh yeah, we have that here. I think every Thursday we have a farmer's market, but it's all home, You know, the farmers come in, and it's right all out there for you to have to consume every bit of it. I mean, you can buy it. It's,
a farmer's market is a little bit different than a co-op. So a co-op.
Yeah, we don't have those here. I'm a little southern hick town, you know.
No, you do. You've got to look, because it's very interesting, because co-ops, a lot of times it could be somebody's house where these boxes are dropped off and they kind of divide the boxes and everyone comes and picks up their box. So you have to actually just Google it, and you'll end up finding a co-op. They're hidden everywhere.
I will do
They're
that
hidden.
Tonight.
I can't even tell you.
I'm going to look tonight. I really am.
Yeah, you know, there's one which is a nationwide company, which is called Annie's Buying Club. That's a nationwide company, but there's also so many local ones, but you have to look for them. They don't just appear. You got to look for them, but you'll save a ton of money on your produce that way.
Yeah. Well, you know, this town, I mean, we still have a four-way stop, but you'd be surprised what's inside of it now. It has just grown by leaps and bounds, and there's a lot of culture there. So I will Google that and see if we have something in my area. I mean, I would love that. That would be wonderful.
Great.
The next town over would be Savannah for me, or it would be Hilton Head Island. That would be the next town over for me. But the city that I'm in, Bluffton, I mean, it's just gotten it's almost rural, but it's just growing so much. But we have a lot of quaint kind of things. We don't have you don't see little store. They're cute little shops. And Candy just sent me a link. She says, "Oh, here's an organic farm in Bluffton." She doesn't miss a beat, that one. She sent me this.
Oh, that's awesome.
Where else is it? Isn't she funny? Oh, I know where it's. Yeah, it's a girl. It's called, listen to this, so you're going to love it. It's called Three Sisters Farm Organics Grocery Store in Bluffton. That's my little city. I will be going there. Now,
wonderful.
Is there anything, because it says organic, is there anything, and we're explaining this to those of you who are going to try to find something to buy a little bit of healthier food, is there anything, I mean, because they might say they're organic, but is there anything in particular I should look for when I go there?
Well, I mean, you know.
Now, what does organic mean? Is that how it was grown with no
Okay, so organic means it was grown with no pesticides. No
right.
hormones, no antibiotics. It's this clean, you know, no GMO, which is no genetically modified ingredients. So that's your best bet. If something has an ingredient label on it, so it's a manufactured food, you want every ingredient to say organic. So if you're getting a cracker, it should say organic flour, organic sugar, organic salt, organic this, organic this. Everything should say organic on it. Because
well,
a lot of times what they do is they'll put. Yeah, so you just have to look at all the ingredient lists. And make some good choices from there. But really sticking to things that are in their natural state is your best bet.
I went to their website. And they have a website, but they also have something on Facebook. And I can see all the beautiful lettuces that they have, red leaf, you know, like the spring kind of stuff. And they have all of that there. And, oh, this sounds wonderful. Thank you, Candy. She's listening. Thank you, Candy. Isn't she wonderful?
Oh, good.
I'll find
That's
it
wonderful.
For you.
That's fantastic.
I love it. I talked about Candy to you before we went on the air. She's the one that does all this stuff for Stars and for the magazine, and she's really good at it. And then I've got to thank Jackie, who does my copy. You know, she keeps my list. She keeps my BCC list. She keeps all the radio shows. She can tell you the first one I had, and she is like this, Adita. I'll say, okay, Jackie. When did I have so-and-so? And within less than 5 minutes, I have a list in my email box. That's no joke.
That's wonderful.
She has folders
Good.
For everything. She's just, they're both top drawer. They're both, I call them my champions. And I have another champion that's listening. I don't ever mention her name, but she is my champion too. And it's really nice to be surrounded with people like that. You know, you really, I've known that lady a long time. But it's nice to have people like that. But Candy, you're wonderful. Thank you. Because she's in the chat right now, but she's listening. So because she obviously heard. I'm going to find her something. Just give me a moment. Just give me a moment, and I'll get it. She's laughing.
There you go. Good. Good.
Yeah. Oh,
well,
she's
Go ahead. I was just going to say, in my book, Superpowers, A Busy Woman's Guide to Health and Happiness, I describe everything of how to read a food label, how to understand what organics are, what kind of meats or chickens or fish you should buy. I have it all laid out there really simple so that it's just it's an easy, quick read is really what it is. And then I've got a ton of easy recipes that help you kind of play with different foods. But again, keeping it super simple so that you're in and out of the kitchen quickly.
Yeah, I'm on your site right now, Adita Lang Wellness. I see it here, and you've got programs and services, and you have a shop here, health guides, and all kinds of stuff. Here's your superpowers. There's your books, recipes. You have recipes, salads, breakfast, So you need to go to www.aditalang.com, and you're going to find everything you need. And, you know, I'm going to write to TJ. I would like to put some stuff from you in my magazine if I can. I mean, I get your permission.
Absolutely.
Because I always go through him. You know, the publishers like to – he's so cute. Well, I'll ask her. Okay, ask her. I've already got her phone number, TJ. I can ask her myself. But I'm very respectful. He's just so good to me. I have like five that are like that with me that spoil me. Like I said, I have dates open. I need some people. Like I'm booked now until August, which I love. But I think, you know, when you have interaction like that, I mean, they spoil me rotten. I mean, how can – look, they brought
That's
you
wonderful.
To me, taught me more about foods, taught the audience more about foods. Please go to her site. I mean, she's got so much here for you that and her new book – is your new book on here? Is it in your new –
No, my new
site
book's
here?
Not there yet. My new book needs like 2 months. In 2 months, it'll be out.
Okay.
So you guys
well,
just got a
I will,
preview of
I'll
of
be
it.
Sure to remind TJ to send me something, an excerpt or something from it, because he'll do that for me if I ask. I always send something to him and say, I need something, or do you have something for me for the July issue? And I always send him X's and O's. You know, I'm a schmoozer, and I can schmooze anything out of you, so I don't waste it with him either. And I just tell him how great he is. Well, he is great. I mean, you know, I only deal with great people, and that's another thing. And you're so sweet. You know, I'm so happy you came on the show. And look, I told you we'd talk. It's already an hour. you start off and you think, oh, gosh. I've had people, believe it or not, that I'd look at their media sheet and I'm thinking, oh, my God, what am I going to talk to them about? Because some of them are kind of, I like to talk about with people like you, that your feet are on the floor, you're not, you know, I had a motivational speaker, and he's just wonderful. I've had him on twice because I have so much fun talking to him. but you know,
oh,
you have
great.
People that are beneficial to your audience. They're learning something from you, and they know that there are people out there that want to help. So please go to her site, and thank you again for coming on the show. It's been so wonderful. And don't be surprised if I contact you. I'll get your email address from TJ.
Good, perfect.
And,
you got it. You're on.
And I'm on. Good. Okay, everybody's witness to that. Okay, I love you, and thank you so much again, and maybe we'll do this again like in 4 or 5 months. We'll bring you back after your book is out, and I'll bring you back on again, okay?
Fabulous. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. Okay, everybody, it's that time. Next week is the holiday week, and I'm thinking it'll probably be Al and I will do a topic, unless Al's really busy. I don't have anything planned. And it'll be posted on starswithazpsychics.com. There's a banner there, and there's also a banner on Mystic Living Today of what's going on, what shows I'm going to be doing, so you can look for that. I'll probably continue right on and do a topic. I laugh. I could probably do an hour on anything myself, but it's a lot better when you have somebody that you can bounce things off of. And Al and I do well together, so maybe we'll have him on. But the following weeks, I have more great people, and Adita was wonderful tonight. And I'm sure everybody appreciated listening to her and her enthusiasm. Couldn't you hear it in her voice, how excited she was? And that's really great. That's a wonderful feeling. And anyways, okay, we're going to end the show here. You know, I can talk on and on and on. But I'm going to end the show as I always do with what I always say. Believe in things you cannot see because they really are there. And with that, I'll say good night, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.